Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hello and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining myself, Lisa Marie Pepe, and my two co-hosts who are fairly new to the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm here today with Robert Vallon and Gwendolyn Buckner, and we are going to provide you with some real hands-on, easy, simple, you know, tips, facts, things that are going to help you to be more productive instead of just being busy. You know, we're living in a world where it's incredibly, you know, saturated with social media, and oh my God, how easy it is to get off track. Especially when if you're a person like me who works, you know, online primarily, it can get pretty chaotic. So, again, my name is Lisa Marie Pepe. I am the founder of Positive Transformation Personal Wellness Coaching. And you can check me out at www.positivetransformation.net. And I am also on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and all those fun things as well. So if you, again, do want to get in touch with me, please feel free to look me up. And now I'd like to introduce my first co-host, Robert Vallon.
Hey, everybody. Good afternoon. My name is Robert Vallon, and glad to be here. Thanks, Lisa Marie and Wendell, who you'll meet in a moment. Just a little bit about myself. I am a life and business coach, and my primary focus is I work with other coaches and entrepreneurs on helping them design, brand, and market their businesses. I help them through the whole process of developing all their online and print collateral from websites and logos and business cards and their social media campaigns. I love working with other coaches, and I'm excited to be here today. More about me can be found on my website, which is valincoaching.com. My last name is spelled V as in Victor, A-L-I-N. If you're interested in designing your business, I have a new website, which is called designtoalign.nyc. So you could check me out there. You could check me out on Facebook as well. That's about it about me. And I'm going to now pass you over to Wendell.
Hey, thanks a lot, Robert. My name is Wendell Buckner. I run Lace for Life, which is a coaching and leadership consulting business headquartered in Fort Washington, Maryland, in the D.C. metro area. I work with young adults, new professionals who are trying to find some level of leadership, accountability, character, and excellence within their lifestyles. My website is laceforlife.com, L-A-C-E. forlife.com. And if you're looking for more information or if you just want to communicate with me, I can be reached via email at wcbuckner, B-U-C-K-N-E-R, wcbuckner@laceforlife.com. Glad to be on the radio with you guys and looking forward to our discussion.
Excellent. Thank you so much, guys. And it really is a privilege and an honor to be here with you this afternoon. You know, being on the Life Coach Radio Network has been such a godsend, I know, for myself and for many other coaches. And it really is. It's a great opportunity. You know, we get together, we chat for a bit, but really what we're trying to do is help those who are listening to us. And through our own experiences and through some of the things that we share, it is our hope that those of you who are listening will certainly take away some very tangible things that you can do to start getting your life a little bit more organized, or, you know, a little bit more productive if you're feeling as though you're not as productive as you can be. So when we were developing this show, I know this was something that all three of us, we really didn't have a difficult time just agreeing that, yeah, this is definitely something that needs to be addressed. And I'll speak for myself. I mean, yes, I'm a life coach, but I'm also, you know, a writer. I'm also on the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm also in direct sales. So I've got a lot of different roles that I'm playing, right? So I've got private clients. I'm putting together a webinar for a group of clients. And I know for myself, and I'm going to ask you guys in a minute what your take is on it. There are days where I feel incredibly productive because I'm getting things done. Like, I start out with my to-do list every morning and I'm getting things done. And then there are other days where I feel like I'm all over the place. Like, I did like 10 minutes worth of work on this project, and then I had a client session, and then I did 10 minutes more on a different project. And that feeling is not really great at the end of the day, I have to be honest. While I love everything that I do, sometimes it does feel a little overwhelming. And it feels like, whew, okay, you know, take a deep breath. And I have to talk myself through it, right? So it's like, take a deep breath. You'll get everything done that needs to get done. And of course, you know, by it, you know, utilizing some of those strategies, more likely than not, I am able to get the things done that need to be done. But again, I'm human, and I'm sure you guys can relate to this. You know, there's those days where I just feel fragmented. At the end of the day, you know, someone will say, how was your day? And I'm like, it was good. It was really busy. But then I look back at night and I'm like, what did I really accomplish today? You know? So I'm going to ask you guys, and feel free to chime in, or, you know, Robert, I can start with you actually. What do you think the difference is between being productive and being busy? How do you kind of differentiate the two, or do you differentiate the two?
The first thing that I hear when I hear busy is, you know, and kind of like, to what you were just saying a moment ago, it's being pulled in every direction. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm busy. I'm really busy. I can't do this now. I'm busy. It's just, there's a frenetic. It feels frenetic to me. Whereas productive is like, it's more focused. It's more channeled, and it's more goal oriented. Versus busy is just like, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. And I got to do this. And one of the things I wanted to kind of piggyback on what you were saying, that, you know, we have days where we're really, really productive, and then there are days where we're just scattered and all over the place. I want to add one of mine in there, and then there are days that you just don't even feel like doing anything. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I think finding a way of being productive on those days could be challenging as well. So I wouldn't mind talking about that a little later as well, if that comes up.
Sure, absolutely. I definitely think there's some room to discuss that. Wendell, why don't you share with us and our listeners who are on the air with us, we thank you for that. What are your thoughts about that? Do you differentiate, you know, between busy and productive, or how do you sort of view the two things?
I definitely do. I really think that that both of you guys have it right, or are along the same line as me. Like Robert was saying, I think that being busy almost lends itself to being disorganized as opposed to being productive. But certainly, you know, there are times when busy is the best I can do, and productivity kind of seems to be, you know, in the far reaches of my mind. But certainly it is the goal to be more productive as opposed to being busy. But, yeah, you definitely have to draw a line with where does one end and one begin. So yeah, I think we're all on the same train of thought there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny. A few weeks back, I was actually doing some research and kind of looking just at, you know, how we define productivity, especially in our country and our fast-paced society. And oftentimes, how we even perceive ourselves. So is it about, are we busy, like you said, or are we really productive? And one of the things that sort of kept coming to mind, you know, every time I was trying to reach out or get in touch with someone or vice versa, they were trying to get in touch with me and trying to find out, you know, what, you know, when we could align our schedules and whatnot. This word busy kept getting in the way. You know, it was sort of like, oh, I'm sorry, I've been so busy. Oh, I can't, I've been so busy. Oh, you know. And I started to really think about that language. I'm a huge, huge proponent of using really positive language, positive statements when we speak about others, when we speak about ourselves. And what I started to do, believe it or not, was to substitute the word busy with productive. Because number one, for me, it sort of like sets the tone. You know, so if I'm looking at my to-do list the night before, and I look ahead and I see, you know, tasks that are on there for tomorrow morning, instead of saying, oh, no, it's going to be busy tomorrow, I say, and I make this sort of an affirmation, wow, I've got a lot going on, but I'm going to be very productive tomorrow. And
I love that. Go on.
Yeah. And again, it's just, you know, it's just a little social experiment, I guess, I'm doing with myself. It's not, you know, it's not anything too scientific, but I've noticed that for myself, it has made a difference in the way that I've structured my time and in the way that I respond to people. Because I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I feel like when someone says, I'm sorry, but I'm too busy, it kind of means like, you're just not a priority right now.
Right.
I mean, that's the way
it's off-putting. It can be off-putting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, for example, I had a friend that I had texted and she didn't message me back for like a week. And, you know, finally it's like, I texted her again and I was like, hey, you know, I haven't heard from you. What's up? And she was like, oh, I'm sorry. I've been very busy. Okay. I get it. But guess what? I've been very busy too, you know, quote unquote busy, right? So I have actually started to respond to people in such a way that when they're, you know, messaging me and or sending me, you know, whatever, email, whatnot, you know, I'll say something to the effect of, I really do want to give you my undivided attention. However, you know, all of my projects lately have kept me very productive. And I promise I will call you back as soon as I can or something to that effect. Because, again, I think it helps the person who's on the receiving end of it to maybe not take it as personally. Like, I just don't have time for you because I'm busy, you know, and everything I'm doing is more important than what you have to do, number one. But number two, it really does set the stage for me to be able to really get, you know, get focused and get it done and get the projects done. I mean, I'm working up against deadlines. I know you guys are with things that you have going on. Almost all of the world is working on a deadline of some kind. So what's your take on that as well? And feel free to chime in. And
sure. Well, I would have to say, as we were getting ready for the call earlier in the week and discussing it, I went about doing some sort of the reverse of your social experiment of choosing to use the word productive. And I thought about the many times that I've used the word or would use the word that I was busy and tried to think of what other words I would use for that time. And most of them were very negative, actually. You know, I think about, you know, times when I would say I was busy, and I could just as soon use the term unproductive, scatterbrained, out of sorts, things that are the exact opposite of being productive as I think about that time spent. So I just want to throw that out there because it is a mindset shift that you know, as you experimented with, of being or the feeling that's associated with being productive as opposed to the feeling associated with being busy.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's funny when you were saying that, I was thinking of, I love the phrase moving forward. And as you were saying that, Wendell, about like, you know, what other words can you replace busy with? And I was just thinking like, I love the whole concept of like, I was very productive today, or I'm sorry I didn't call you back. I've been very productive. What I like about productive is there's a sense of pride in that. There's a sense of ownership in, being productive, and there's a sense of almost kind of relief in it. And I just something just popped into my head. I'm being proud of
productivity relates to outcome.
Right. And it relates to outcome. And something like saying like, I've been moving my business forward. I'm moving forward with whatever. Kind of along the same lines as like I'm being productive.
Yep. I think it goes back to some of the other I am statements that we use certainly in our coaching lives. I am moving forward. I am making progress, as opposed to I've been busy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been busy. And busy is actually a blanket statement for everything, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it's funny, I was just going to say that, busy can almost be a cop-out too sometimes. And I hate to say that, but it's true. I mean, there have been times when, even in my own life where I've really just not wanted to do something. And what do you say? You go, oh, I'm busy. Sorry. I can't come to your whatever party because I'm busy. And like you said, what does that mean? And I also think that the word itself, when you really take a look at it, I mean, it is kind of thrown around in a very nonchalant way. I mean, the way the media uses it, the way that we do everything in this society so quick, 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 the whole invention of fast food, we know you're busy, so pop on through the drive-thru and grab your food and scoff it down in 5 minutes, and it's like, No, let's not do that. Let's kind of slow it down a little bit. Let's work, let's work and get stuff done. Let's get focused, but let's work efficiently as opposed to just being busy. Like you said, busy, I can get sidetracked very, very easily when I'm on social media. And that's definitely an area I wanted to kind of cover this afternoon. And I know there's other people probably listening going, I mean, I feel like I can get on one social media site, whether it's Facebook, Pinterest, whatever, and I have like adult onset ADHD all of a sudden, which, by the way, I mean, I have never been diagnosed with, and I'm not trying to belittle anyone who actually is dealing with that by any means. But that's what it feels like sometimes. Like I'll go into Pinterest and I'll, go to look up, say a recipe or something. And the next thing you know, it's like a half hour later and I'm looking at tattoos of butterflies, and I'm like, how did I get here? Like what just happened? So what I've tried to do, and then I'd love to hear what you guys are doing to try to, manage your time more effectively. What I've really tried to do is look at things that really are a priority, first and foremost. So things that are related to, family, of course, for me, family would come first. But then things that are related to my work. If I have a client and that client is scheduled, I have to make sure that I'm there for that client and I'm accountable for that client. My attention can't be elsewhere. So if I am... And I work from home, so if I'm tempted to even look at something or have something in front of me that's going to distract me at all, I have now like completely removed it from my visual. So the computer stays out of the room unless I'm like taking notes or something like that. But all the social media sites are shut down essentially. Mm-hmm. So Facebook's not in the background, and who's tweeting me in the background, and all those things are shut down because I want to be fully present and fully focused on the person that I'm interacting with. One of the things that I actually want to get better at is not having the cell phone with me, while I'm, eating dinner or while I'm watching TV. But it's crazy how we've all become, but most of us have become so addicted to this little black box. That we have these smartphones and we're constantly on them, and I'm no different.
You're not suggesting there's something wrong with that, are you?
I know, right? As I mean, we've all seen the funny cartoons, you know, where people are sitting together at like a lunch table and everyone's eating, but everyone's just staring down at their screen, you know, and yes, it's comical, but it's to some point, I mean, there is some truth in that, you know? So I know for myself, there's certain things I still need to work on when it comes to not getting distracted on social media. But certainly I've made, you know, the steps, and I've taken the, you know, the action steps to try to do that. How do you guys feel? I'm always curious to hear what a guy's opinion is about like social media, because I know like I'm in a lot of like women's groups on Facebook. So I'm just curious what, how it's different for men. What's your take on social media?
Personally, I will admit it. I have an addiction to Facebook, and that I am, it's like crack to me. And I have been working very, very hard to get off the Facebook. They need to have like there should be a new 12-step program for people who are addicted to social media, because I think most of us are at this point in our lives. I mean, it's just like you can't get away from it. And what I've been doing is one of the things that I try to do to help myself be more productive is, you know, like you were saying, Lisa Marie, is to cut out all the distractions. So what I do is I will schedule my whole day. I will literally write down every, you know, the night before what my day is going to look like hour by hour. But I'll give myself little pockets to go on Facebook, but also set a reminder in my phone, like, okay, if I can go on, if I'm giving myself from 2 to 2:30 to go on Facebook. I know that might sound like a lot to a lot of people, a half hour, but that's like nothing for me. I will, you know, I'll set an alarm at 2:30 for it to go off, and Facebook has to go off. But I also do this across the board with other things that are distractions, like text messaging. I will shut off my phone and I'll put it on Do Not Disturb, and the only person that can get through to me is my husband. I will do the same thing with my email. I will shut down my email program because I'll get all these little pop-up things. You've got an email from this person or an email from that person, and it's like I'm like a kid in a candy shop. It's like, oh, well, here's a nice, pretty little distraction. Let me go to this to get me off the hook from doing what I really need to be doing right now.
Yeah, it's so true. I'm so glad that you pointed that out. And, you know, excuse me, I think there will be a time where we're going to start seeing 12-step programs for like serious online addiction. I mean, it has gotten really, really bad. And again, I don't pretend to be, I'm not sort of looking for, speaking of which, immune to that. I myself am not immune to that. I mean, I depend heavily on social media for my business. It's how I market myself. It's how I come in contact with my potential clients most of the time, because I'm not going out door to door right now. You know, those days seem to have passed by where we're, you know, using flyers, putting them on people's doors. But yeah, you're so right about that. You've got to carve out the space and literally just get rid of the distractions. And if that means closing it out altogether, close it down. You know,
right.
I think it's great.
Right. And not to interrupt you, and I'm going to give a parallel because, you know, as a wellness coach, you'll understand this. It's like if someone's going to put themselves on a diet and they're a chocoholic, and, you know, I'm pretty sure that most people would say, you know, rather than completely eliminating chocolate from your diet, give yourself the reward, or give yourself, you know, the chocolate in moderation. And it's kind of like the same thing with, like, you know, I'll use Facebook as an example. If someone told me I can never be on Facebook again, that's not going to help me. Number one, I do a lot of my marketing on Facebook as well. But to be able to really say to yourself, okay, how much time do I really need to spend on this? And what is it costing me by spending all this time on Facebook?
Right. Right. Great point.
Right.
Yeah. So, Wendell, how do you feel about it? I'm curious, what's your take on social media, and, you know, where do you stand with it? Or do you feel like the two of us, like it's a crack addiction, or...
Yeah, I find, you know, I will go to, you know, I get entrapped you know, I go to Facebook for one thing, and, you know, this limitless flurry of readily available content just kind of throws itself on my 21 inches of screen, and I'm hooked. Had no purpose, no reason to be there as long as I was, but here I find myself, you know, doing all this, you know, tangential viewing of stuff that I never knew I was interested in, and, and 45 minutes has passed by. So certainly, as you said, I'm not immune. And I do, you know, it is great that we experience these things because it allows us to be so much better at developing a level of awareness that allows us to help people in managing, like you said, Robert, not eliminating, but certainly managing through these things. And certainly I, as a leadership coach, I focus with a lot of my clients on, you know, going from, you know, how they can have time spent to having time well spent. And one of the two of the things that we focus on are prioritization and record keeping, in addition to the scheduling. So certainly scheduling time for, you know, focused, you know, job related or career related tasks is as important as, you know, those fun tasks, as important as, you know, as those, you know, those healthy and beneficial tasks. You know, all the work in the world and no work out is not going to result in any better a life. Certainly, being able to schedule all those things, prioritize which ones are important to, you know, using the, you know, Stephen Covey's habits and determining which ones are, you know, important and which ones are urgent, which ones are both, which ones are neither. And being able to use that as a tool, as a technique for prioritizing time, and then setting limits. There's no way that any of us is, you know, there's a law of diminishing returns. There's no way that I can say I'm going to work on one thing for 4 hours and have all four of those hours be equally productive. So I have to evaluate what reality dictates, what my actual attention and focus are, and schedule just enough time so that by when my brain starts to, you know, wane, I'm moving on to the next thing that reinvigorates me and repositions my focus on that new thing just as it did on that old one. And I'm able to get more things done since we all know multitasking does not work.
It really doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. That's another buzz term, right? And it's so funny you said that because I actually I have a webinar coming up that we're going to be doing for busy moms. And, you know, I mean, not to say that, you know, moms and dads aren't multitasking, but oftentimes we hear about the mom who's multitasking, you know, she's nursing and one side and she's cooking dinner on the other. And in the meantime, she's got the phone in her hand, you know, up against her neck and her, you know, and her pin between her ear and her shoulder. And we're going to talk about that. Like, is there such a thing as multitasking? I mean, what does that mean? It just means our brain is split in like 10 different directions at one time. And we know, I mean, we've done some research on this. It really isn't beneficial. Corporate America
right.
thought it was at some point, but we know in hindsight, it's not. It's much more effective to focus on one project at a time. Maybe, you know, one or two, I mean, you can walk and chew gum. But you don't need to have 18 screens open on your computer at the same time because really, I mean, the way that that affects the brain is just pulling the brain in all different avenues and all different, you know, and one thing that's responding to something visual and one part's responding to something auditory. And I mean, it's just like constant stimuli overload.
Right. Yep. I mean, you know, studies show that it actually causes us to lose quality in terms of the output, as well as quality of, you know, those tasks that we want to be able to recall, that we want to be able to have an intense level of attention to. Like you in the example that you gave, imagine the difference in that quality of time for a mother to focus solely on her baby as she's nursing. I mean, those are moments that go away and that you want to fully be there, fully be attentive for. We know that, you know, we talk all the time about life being short. But certainly in the context of our days, life is pretty long. I mean, we've got an average lifespan in America of somewhere around 75, 80 years. There's no way that you can consider that you can't accomplish everything you could ever want and still waste plenty of time. So, so we certainly have the ability to do all of everything we want and have the utmost of quality in all of the things that we do.
Right. That's a great point. That's a great point. And, you know, I wanted to piggyback on something you had said. I think it was about, you said, you know, you like me, you didn't use the word adult onset ADHD, but you said, you know, you hop online for one thing and before you know it, you're looking at things you didn't even know you had an interest in. And it's very true too. You know, like I was saying before, and it's no joke, you know, you hop on something even like Pinterest and, you know, I know that tends to be more popular with the ladies and so, you know, I'm just using that as an example, but any social media site really, you know, I'll go on there and look up literally one thing. It's like, I just want to find like one quote or one, you know, one little aspect of something. And like I said, the next thing I know, I'm looking at like, you know, garden tools or, you know, lawnmowers. And I'm like, oh, maybe we should get a lawnmower. And I'm thinking, no, I came on here for a recipe. Like, what? Like, how did I wind up here? You know, and like you said, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour, something that I would have never even thought about. Like, I don't need a John Deere tractor right now, but I'm on a site looking at John Deere tractors, which is so like funny because it's so not me, right? So, yeah, I think definitely it's a jungle out there when you get on social media, especially if you are one of the people who's very, very inquisitive and you want to keep clicking on all the links and all the different things, and it can be pretty overwhelming. And there was another point, Robert, that you had, or no, it might have been you. I'm not sure it was, Wendell. I think it was you who said, well, anyway, it's either one of you guys, because you're both making really great points. Said something about if I were going to work with a client in terms of, you know, their health and wellness goals, and would I completely, you know, say get rid of all of the junk food in your life? Absolutely not, because that's going to make the person feel, number one, deprived of anything that they associated with, you know, pleasure and things like that. And number two, they're more likely to rebel and kind of go against that. So mm-hmm. I think it was Robert had said something about chocolate. Like, are you going to say eliminate all the chocolate in your diet? Absolutely not. I'm going to tell them to use it in moderation. And it is very much the same thing when it comes to social media, at least I feel that way. Use it as a way to reward yourself. That's a couple, one of the ways I've been working with a couple of my clients, to talk to them and say, you know, well, what do you enjoy doing? Do you enjoy, you know, playing games on Facebook or going online and chatting with friends in groups, you know, group messaging or whatnot? You know, use it as a reward instead of always using it as a task or task-oriented. Set that time aside at the end of the night if that's what you want to do. You know, like you said, a half hour to us, because we're on it all day long, is nothing. Maybe it's too long for some people, but maybe it's a good escape for people, because there's nothing wrong with it. I think it becomes problematic when it gets in the way of being productive. You know, just right. you can, and you know, such a level on Candy Crush. I mean, okay, you were busy doing that, but you don't really have anything to show for that except that you reached a level on Candy Crush, right? So, I think it's just excellent points that both of you have brought up, for sure.
So let me, I'm curious, what I would love to hear what you guys do to keep focused and stay productive. On a, like, what are some tips and tricks that you guys have to, you know, to doing that throughout the day to keep you, you know, on plan?
Sure, sure. Before we answer that, though, I do just want to address, we do have a couple of callers on hold, and I would just to invite, if either of the callers who are online who are listening, if they would like to chime in or they have some a question to ask us, they can do so by just pressing 1, and I would be happy to, you know, allow them access on the air. If not, if you're just listening, then that's great as well. But I have someone on area code 540 and another individual on area code 603. So if either of you would like to chat with one of them or, you know, pose a question for the larger audience, please do so by pressing 1. Otherwise, I invite anyone out there who may be catching us to call in at 646-716-9397. Again, the number to call in, either to listen to the show or to ask a question or to, you know, talk with us on air is 646-716-9397. Okay, so Wendell, I'm going to let you take the reins on that one. So how do you go about sort of structuring your day?
I employ the 80-20 rule, which basically says that, you know, only 20% of my effort, that 20% of my effort is going to result in 80% of my beneficial outcomes. So literally, I don't stress it too much. I do schedule things a lot, you know, just like you were saying about the client time. When we've got a client, we schedule it. We schedule maybe a few minutes before a phone call, a few minutes after a phone call, because we know we are accountable to our client for the service that we provide. So I take that same idea to heart in everything I do. But at the same time, I plan to do only a few things a day, because I know that life is going to get in the way. Things are going to come up that I haven't planned for. So I don't try to overplan my day, because all that's going to do, just like you were saying with the chocolate, all that's going to do is disappoint me. It's impractical and actually doesn't serve me very well. So I list the night before as best I can the 4, maybe 5 most important things that I can do the following day, prioritize them, and give them, say, maybe an hour in the, you know, I don't sleep that much, so in the 18 hours that I'm awake, I can count on those getting accomplished, and it really makes me feel better every day from day to day, because I know that my plate is majorly empty, which allows me the flexibility that I really want out of life to begin with, and I don't feel overburdened with what has to be accomplished for the day. So, I mean, it really comes down to I stay busy when I need to be busy, and I make sure that that's really as little as possible within my day.
Excellent. I kind of like that as a concept. It's sort of a new and refreshing sort of mindset, because I mean, I know folks many of the people I'm working with, they are incredibly overscheduled, you know, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're not only working a full-time job, they may be working a part-time job on top of it. They've got family that they're taking care of. They may be parents, may not be parents, but I mean, whatever. I mean, if, you know, even if they own, you know, pets, I mean, there's always something to be doing. And it's nice to hear that you sort of have that mentality where I'm not going to over, you know, book myself, so that I can be open to whatever other possibilities and stuff that come about. I think that's kind of a really cool concept.
I mean, you know, it's a really short story, but I spent nearly 15 years in the corporate world where it seemed like night after night, day after day, I spent more time being frustrated with myself for the things that I didn't accomplish than the things that I did. So I don't even know how great a day I had, because the only thing I focused on was the things that I didn't accomplish. So this takes that all away.
Wow, that's really powerful. That was a quick story with a really profound and powerful message. I don't know. Wow. Yeah, I mean, and that's true. And it's funny, you know, a lot of life coaches, you know, when you ask where people, most of us, and this isn't true for me, but many life coaches that I've come in contact with and started to collaborate with on different projects and stuff, they've done the whole corporate world, rat race world, and have said, okay, I'm not doing this anymore, you know, and it's very much like what you had just said, you know, you're in the office late at night, you've already, you know, gone through your whole day and, you know, you're exhausted, you're tired, and there you are sitting there at the end of the night beating yourself up for the things you didn't do, while in the meantime, you probably were much more productive than, you know, according to, like,
exactly
standards, you know, but because it was a corporate event or something, you know, it may not have seemed like you were doing enough. So, Robert, how do you go about structuring your day? I mean, I certainly know what I do, and I'll share in a minute, but I'm curious about what you do.
Well, as you know, as a person, I've done the corporate thing, and I've also done the freelance thing, and one of the things that I liked about corporate, I mean, I didn't like the whole rat race thing, was that there was structure there. It was like you knew that you had to wake up at a certain time and get, you know, get your butt on the train and get to work and be sitting at your desk at a certain time, and you had tasks to do throughout the day, and then, you know, 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock was quitting time. So I've been trying to apply those principles into my life as a coach to get my projects done. So I kind of have a schedule. It's like, I got to wake up at this time. I got to walk the dog at this time. I've got to be in the shower and have my breakfast and out the door and sitting at my desk by this time. And then I have like the top three or four things that need to be addressed throughout the day. I try to focus on who I absolutely need to speak to today. And you know, I don't take phone calls during the day. And the other thing that I try to do is I have, I've got my daily to-do list, and I also keep a done list so I can kind of track and have an idea of the things that I've accomplished, because it's very easy for us to just cross something off our to-do list and forget about it. And then we don't necessarily will have a sense of accomplishment, but by having my done list, it actually allows me to see all the things that I've done over the course of the week or the month or the year. And it's like, oh, I have accomplished these things. And those, I find that really rewarding. I also keep a list of, I call it my long list of everything that just kind of pops into my head of things that I have to do over the course of, you know, my month, life, year, to get myself moving forward to the place that I want to be at.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, and you know, I was working with a client of mine about 2 weeks ago, and she was working from home as well, but she was having some difficulties with really finding structure in her day. And that was one of the key things that she came to me for, was she needed something or somehow to set up structure. And anyone that knows me, especially the people who live with me or my boyfriend or whomever, they know that I'm pretty rigid about the way I set up my day. And it's kind of funny to an extent that I'm able to laugh at it and people laugh at it, you know, with me. But I do pretty much operate like clockwork. And, you know, so like you were saying, it's going to bed at the same time every night. It's getting up at the same time every day. It's eating breakfast at the same time every day. It's working out at the same time every day. It's taking phone calls during a certain set of hours. It's only scheduling appointments during a certain set of hours. And, you know, again, some people would look at that and call it rigid or inflexible. For me, it's a way of life. I mean, and to each his own. I've always been envious of people who could kind of just float through life. Like they get up and they're like, oh, whatever happens today. That would make me incredibly anxious, personally. you know, but we're all different. We're all different. And I respect that. But I'm definitely a type A, you know, where I've got to know, you know, the night before what I'm having the next day for breakfast, which is why I don't change my breakfast. I eat the same thing every day, right? So, you know, it's kind of funny, but, you know, as a wellness coach, I do try to teach people that having structure in their day, and when I say structure, I'm not talking about, you know, just work-related items. I'm talking about structure for, I mean, everything from prayer and meditation time, to workout time, to, like you said, some leisure time. Schedule all of those things in so that they happen. Because if you don't, you, A, will end up getting totally bogged down in work, right? And that becomes that whole busy, like I've been busy all day, but what do I really have to show for it? Or, you know, the other side happens, which is you get completely off track. And before you know it, it's 3 o'clock and you haven't, you know, left the couch yet because you have been, you know, playing Candy Crush all day. So I try to find somewhere in between. And I found that in doing so, in creating that kind of a structure for myself, the goals that I set, they're small enough that they're tangible, number one. So every day, and this is just me personally, every day I start my day off when I wake up. The first few minutes, it's sort of like a prayer and meditative time for me. You know, I'm kind of just waking up, kind of giving gratitude to God, you know, that I'm up again. I have, you know, 2 feet that I've got on the floor and I'm ready to go. But for me, that's how I go to bed. I mean, that's how I awake every morning. And within the next, you know, half hour or so, it's breakfast time. It's, you know, time to kind of just maybe do a little check-in on social media, see what messages I got from the evening before, et cetera. But then after that, it's time for me to then go and do my daily exercise. So I carve out that half hour to get on the elliptical rider. And then many people know who have heard me talk, I am recovering from shoulder surgery. So I also carve out that time to do my physical therapy activities at home, because if I don't, my health suffers for it. So, you know, I have that structure set in place so that by 11 a.m., I've already knocked off, you know, 3 or 4 things for myself that make me feel like I've accomplished at least something today. So if nothing else, I can look back and say, well, you know what? I woke up, I prayed and then meditated. I exercised. I did my physical therapy, you know, regimen. So, you know, it's a way of making me feel productive. So before noon, I've already got, you know, 3 or 4 things accomplished. And, you know, yes, are there days where, of course, I don't want to do those things? Absolutely. I mean, we're all going to have days, like you were just saying, where you don't feel like doing anything today. I've had plenty of those days, especially in the middle of the winter here in Connecticut. You know, I've had plenty of those days where I'm like, I don't really feel like getting on the elliptical. But I know when I get through it that the outcome is going to be, A, you know, a natural endorphin release just by way of, you know, what exercise does for the brain and the body, but also that sense of accomplishment. And I'm not talking about, you know, making time, you know, 2 hours a day to go to the gym or, you know, because, again, that's unrealistic, especially if you're working full-time, if you have a family, even if you're not working full-time, but you have a family. I mean, that's almost unrealistic to think that you could be out 2 to 3 hours at the gym, you know, it doesn't have to be big stuff, folks. You know, if you enjoy yoga, do 20 minutes of yoga when you can. If it's right before bed, do it then, you know, but do it consistently and at the same time if you can. You're that much more likely to get it done.
I think you really, one of the things that really stuck out, and you just said it, was consistency. I think it's really coming up with a plan that's just consistent. Kind of just like, you know, it's like building a muscle.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's training. It is like a muscle. It really is. It's working it until it's been conditioned so that it feels normal, you know? Wendell, what are your thoughts about that? Like, how do you, I know you said you're a little bit more, you try not to overschedule, I think is great. What are some of your other thoughts just about productivity and how people can, you know, better feel that they're, I guess, being more productive as opposed to just being busy? And because what really rang out for me or really rang true is when you said, you know, when you were in the corporate world, you were sitting back and saying, I didn't really feel like I accomplished much today. And I know for a fact that even some of my clients feel that way, and trying to help them to understand that doing their best is good enough, you know? So how would
right.
you sort of approach that?
Well, I think you were, you were spot on in terms of your suggestion. And as Robert attributed, it is a matter of conditioning. It's a matter of, you know, that positive habit creation, switching from, you know, the selective attention to the sustained attention, and ultimately to the automatic attention, going through that, you know, that required neural programming that allows us to be able to do these things routinely, as opposed to them being, you know, arduous or some differentiation from our norm, but actually establishing them as our norm, that really makes the difference in terms of how comfortable we are with our own execution. I think you absolutely have it right.
Yeah.
Something else that I just popped into my head is accountability. Like, you know, it's one thing to be accountable, to hold yourself accountable for something. A lot of us don't do that, but one of the clients that I'm working with, is she has an accountability buddy, and she lets the other person know, like, this is what my plan is for the week, and I'm going to check in with you next week and let you know where I am with it. And I think there's a lot of power in that.
Absolutely. That's definitely, definitely. That is a great way to stay on task and to stay productive. And, you know, it's funny, and I don't know if you guys, you know, work solely, you know, for yourselves or whatnot, but I know I do. I work solely for myself, but I am in collaboration with a lot of other coaches, and it does make me accountable to be productive. You know, if I've got webinars coming up and I've got books that are, you know, going to press, and I mean, I have to operate under deadlines. And again, I try not to overschedule myself. Sometimes it does happen, but I try not to. But having that accountability where we do like a check-in call a couple of times a week really is beneficial, because if someone, I'll give you a prime example. I was a co-author in an anthology, which is due to come out in March. And in the beginning, when the publisher and the editor contacted me, there was not a specific timeline. It was more like, okay, thank you so much for joining us. We're glad to have you on board. We'll be in touch soon. Okay, fine. So a week goes by, 2 weeks go by, 3 weeks go by, and I'm like, I need to know what I'm really supposed to be doing. Am I supposed to be writing with a prompt? Am I, you know, what am I doing? So then finally another email comes in, and it's like, okay, so this is what we'd like, you know, an XX amount of, you know, words and do have due by. And then when I got that email, it was like, okay, now I get it. This is what I need to do. This is when it's due by. I better get my butt in gear. So I don't want folks to get afraid of having deadlines. I mean, part of goal setting and being able to reach goals is having some kind of a plan, right? And, you know, it's been said, and I know I've posted this frequently, you know, a goal without a plan is really just a wish. And it's kind of true. I mean, I can sit here all day and say, oh, I wish I was a best-selling author. I wish I had more clients. I wish. Whereas when I sit down with a goal and I say, you know, by, you know, whatever, give it several months or whatever, you know, but pick a date, pick a time, and know that that's when you have to get that stuff done by, and make it reasonable. Don't put it for tomorrow. I'm not going to be a best-selling author tomorrow, but if it's something long-term that you're working on, like Robert was saying, his long-term list, you know, put it on there, but work at it a little bit each time that you can. If it's something
and write
that
out
is
the
more
steps.
Exactly. Yes. Write out the steps so that, and that is so key. Write it down. What's it going to take? You want, you know, and I hear people say that all the time. Oh, I wish I could write a book, or, oh, I wish I could do. Hey, you more than likely when people say that, they have the ability to do it. It may not be easy. It may take some hard work and dedication, but it can be broken down into smaller steps. And I think that's definitely a beneficial tool, is breaking down the larger picture. Like you were saying, you know, break it down into small tangible steps. You know, can you write a paragraph a day? You know,
right, and schedule
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And also, like you were saying too, Robert, with that accountability piece, one of the things that I recommend to my clients typically, certainly at the beginning, so that they can kind of start to see this shift within themselves, is within the realm of personal accountability, you know, journaling, or, you know, some of my corporate male clients would want to call it, you know, record keeping, but really just kind of writing down, you know, they just really writing down what the accomplishments of each day have been, so that you can look back on it and compare it. You know, you do your kind of, you know, you did your budget when you did your planning for the week. Now you look at your actuals, you compare the budget to actuals and see, you know, what that variance is and how to minimize that variance so that what you plan as your goal is exactly what your outcome is at the end for the following week. So yeah, accountability, I certainly think is a key component, both on the front end and the back end.
And I think also what happens is, you know, once you start doing that, you start to build the momentum and you start getting excited and that adrenaline starts flowing. And then I'll speak from personal experience, there's a flow that happens and you get to a point where it starts to feel effortless and there's an enjoyment from it. And to use, you know, to go back to the Facebook thing, is like you don't miss Facebook as much because you're being productive and you're getting something, you know, tangible from the work that you're doing, and it kind of catapults you forward.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Wow. And believe it or not, we have had quite a productive hour. The whole hour has already flown by. On that note, what I'd like to do is give us each a chance just to kind of give our final thoughts about the matter that we've been speaking on. And again, like we had said, I hope that whomever is listening can certainly take away some practical hands-on advice from what we've just, you know, discussed. If you're having some difficulty, you know, getting focused on things, you know, try to really carve out specific times a day where you know you're only going to work on one thing at a time. And, you know, writing down the steps, writing it out at night, if that helps, do it. If it helps writing it out in the morning, do it. I love the idea of at the end of the evening doing a gratitude journal, or, you know, and you can call it what you want. Like you said, what'd your corporate clients call it? It was something like
record keeping.
I love that.
Yes.
It's a guy thing.
Yeah, but it's much more formal and much more about accountability, right? Record keeping, you know, whereas I can sit down at night and say, hey, I did this and this and this. Yeah, I feel pretty darn good about that, you know, so it's kind of funny. So my final thoughts about this. You know, wake up every day with a heart of gratitude and just do the best you can. You know, and at the end of the day, when you look back on it and you say, what did I get done today? You know, let's hope that, you know, for one, you gave some gratitude, you know, and expressed gratitude for actually having another day to live. For me, I mean, that's pretty powerful, right? And that's pretty big. That's an accomplishment for me. I've made it through another day. Second, you know, just be kind to yourself. You know, don't beat yourself up if you're not there yet, or you're not, you know, right on schedule with everything you should be. You know, we're all a work in progress. Try to utilize some of the tips that we've given, and hopefully they will help. Again, my name is Lisa Marie Pepe, and I can be reached on the internet by going to www.positivetransformation.net. And again, I can also be found all over social media. But do understand I may be not responding right away, but, you know, certainly will as I try to move forward in my own productive areas. So guys, go ahead and take it away.
I thought this was a really productive hour, and I really enjoyed it, and I hope everybody else did as well. One of the things I want to add in is to give yourself, I was an actor years ago, and one of the things that one of my teachers told me is if you're up on stage and you forget a line, you can't stop the show because you forgot the line. You have to give yourself instant forgiveness. So if you are, not being so productive and you fall off that track, give yourself instant forgiveness. Just get back to it. Don't beat yourself up. Don't be so hard on yourself. Just, keep whatever is working for you to move yourself forward, keep going with that. And be gentle with yourself. And again, my name is Robert Vallon, and I would love to actually hear people's thoughts on what you do to stay productive, to keep yourself moving forward. So feel free to email me at robert@valloncoaching.com. I'd love to hear from you. Lisa Marie and Wendell. My website is valloncoaching.com, and I could also be found at designtoalign.nyc, and that's it. Wendell?
Wow. Excellent.
Well, yeah.
Thanks.
Certainly. I think you guys saved the best for last with your comments. I mean, instant forgiveness, that is a great final takeaway from this session. Lisa Marie, you talked about, doing the best you can. Certainly, if the more we use these tips and tricks and techniques, we'll be able to better assess what our best is and then be able to know, what the barometer is for our own level of success and really just our own level of satisfaction. So I enjoyed being in this conversation with the two of you guys. Again, my name is Wendell Buckner. I'm the CEO and founder of LACE for Life, L-A-C-E for Life. That's an acronym for leadership, accountability, character, and excellence, four components that I try to live my life by and certainly use in my coaching expertise. I can be reached at wcbuckner@laceforlife.com. And my website, if you're interested, is www.laceforlife.com. Thanks again.
Excellent. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you to everyone that came out and listened live. We do appreciate it, and we do wish you the very best for the rest of the evening and the rest of the week as well. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.